Liability block diagrams. And there's a couple different scenarios for this, and we'll first talk about series systems. And as just a quick aside while I know I'm still on the screen, is I've learned that I've not made that many gestures throughout the course recording so far. I'm not really comfortable doing it, so you're probably not going to see too many of them. But anyway, let's talk about reliability block diagrams and series systems. Now, they're a very, very common tool because a lot of products are created in a series system. And series, from a reliability point of view, basically means that if any one component fails, then the system fails. So if you're driving along a road that has tunnels and bridges and overpasses and a roadbed, if any one of those elements fail, you're not able to get to your destination on that road. And that's what we mean by series systems. Now, in contrast, the parallel systems, which we'll talk about next, implies that there's multiple routes for you to take so that if a bridge is out, there's a detour available that will get you around that blockage. And so in that case, then you have multiple ways to arrive at your destination and really only need one of them to work. That'd be a parallel system. But let's dive into a little more detail about a series system, which by far is the most common in my experience. So we could model it as a success tree where the system will work if all of the individual elements work. So we have five components in this simple model, and we have an AND gate, a logic gate, that basically says when all five of the components are working, the system is working. And if R5, for example, fails, then the AND gate signals to the system that it's not working or meets the criteria that it's not working. More commonly, we just draw it as a string, more like a chain. You often use the analogy of the weakest link in the chain, or you see images of chains for series system reliability. I've refrained a little bit from that. There might actually be a chain image or two here someplace. But the idea is that if I lose R3, for example, the chain is broken and I'm not able to go from, the system is not going to function. Now, the math for these is actually pretty simple. It's just the product of the reliability of each of the blocks. So if I have a motherboard, a memory, a hard drive, a power supply, and say five different elements, I would just take the product of the reliability at the point in time I'm most interested in and to come up with the system reliability. So let's say the reliability is, let's see if I can get my pen going here and do a quick example. If I'm at 0.9 reliability for each of my five elements, and I'm only using this example because I remember the math for it, it's really just equal to 0.9 raised to the fifth power. It's 0.9 times 0.9 times 0.9 and so on. And that equals about 0.95. That would be our system reliability, 0.95. Reliable at, say, 1 year for each of these things. And it makes the calculation on a series system pretty straightforward and rather simple. Now, one of the consequences of having a series system is that if I add more items, if I add more components, the reliability of the system goes down for any particular point in time. So say up 2 years, if I only have one component, it gets cut by from about 0.4 to less than 0.2 with just two components, and so on. Now, each additional component adds just marginally less reliability, or takes away from the reliability slightly. Now, of course, the individual component reliability matters, but here I'm saying I'm adding identical units, and that's what this model shows. So if I have a very large and complex system with thousands of components, the individual components are going to have to be very reliable in order for the overall system to be very reliable. It's one of the trade-offs of dealing with a series system. But how would you use this to make decisions? So let's take a quick look back here at this model. And let's say I'm working with a team that has five components, and there's some competition. There's the software team, the hardware team, firmware team, maybe somebody working with a key supplier for one of the elements, and so on. Each team has got a limited set of resources in order to achieve their apportioned reliability, as we've discussed in a previous lesson. But if I know that R4 is in trouble, let's say their goal is 0.9, but they're actually looking at being able to achieve, let's say 0.99, and we're actually able to achieve 0.95. Well, if the other groups are able to achieve their goals, maybe one of them is able to reduce their goal, allowing us to change this from 0.99 to 0.95. It might be a one-to-one exchange, or maybe a couple of areas reduce their goals, change their product so they have more money available, more space available, more time available. Because at the end of the day, we just need the product of all of them to achieve the goal, the overall system goal. The individual goals are malleable, is that as the technology or the capabilities of each item adjust, some going down, some going up, we can then balance and achieve the overall system reliability and cooperatively is really what I'm looking for here. So another concept here is that no individual can be at the system goal. So if my system goal is 0.95, and I know that this one component's at 0.94, we're not going to be able to achieve the system goal as long as this component is going to be operating at or below that value, because all of these other parts contribute through this product calculation to the system goal. So the basic idea here is that this one has to be increased in its reliability, or we need to change the system goal to accommodate the technology that we have available. So those are the kinds of ways you can use this system in a development group, for example, to look at and examine where we need to spend resources to improve the performance of our product. So even if it is just a very simple tool, and it can do it on a simple spreadsheet, it doesn't need anything fancy to make this happen, we can map our current estimates to our current goal and then make adjustments, either changing the capability of our design or find different components or change the goals to accommodate them. Either way, we've engaged the team in having a conversation that ultimately improves the reliability of the system or its ability to achieve the system goals. It's really a big part of what we do as reliability professionals. So the bottom line is, even this very, very simple model can help us engage with our teams to make better decisions. So the one that I've talked about just briefly is the parallel system. So let's see what that model looks like and how to use it.